If anyone has a cell phone on, we'd please appreciate it if you turned it off and put it on silent. The back door is to remain free and clear at all times and open. Noise carries in here, so please keep your conversations out in the hallway. The License Commission hearing for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. It's 3:07 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Ferrer, Gerard Mahoney, and Branville Bard. First matter, application Antonio Dorville for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Please come up, sir, and take a seat. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Could you please state and spell your last name for the record?
My last name is Dorville, D-O-R-V-I-L.
And your first name is Antonio.
Antonio, correct? Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Dorville, have you ever been a Hackney driver before?
No.
Okay. And why do you want to become a taxi driver?
Because for my age, 61 years old, so I want something relaxed in the city. I'm a truck driver, so for my son going to college, I'll not be close to my son. So for as a truck driver, I have a month over the road, 2 months over the road, it's too much for me. Now I'll be home every day, that's why I choose to be a taxi driver in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay, excellent. And your license has never been suspended? Is that
no,
first?
Ma'am.
Okay. Do you have a lease agreement already, or are you going to start looking for jobs?
No, I'm going to still looking.
Questions?
No.
Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant. Granted. Officer Zito will be in touch with you as to next steps, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, officer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter. General Landscaping Corporation for failure to comply with the cease and desist order of August 13th, 2018. And for allegedly operating leaf blowers at approximately 2:25 p.m. on May 1st, 2019 in the vicinity of Berkeley Street in violation of Cambridge Municipal Code 8.16.08.1 sub 1b and 8.16.08.1 2c. A waiver of hearing was filed on this matter.
There's no one here to speak on this, correct? No member of the public? Okay. Yeah. They actually filed a waiver of hearing saying that they did commit the violation. The woman apologized. She had started, they had gotten a cease and desist letter in 2018. They stopped using leaf blower for the rest of 2018. 2019, they submitted an application. They failed to complete it prior to using leaf blowers and becoming permitted because she had to go out on an emergency medical leave, and she said she sort of dropped the ball. With that said, I would suggest they since have gotten their permit and are up to date. The blowers that they were using were in compliance, so I would vote to find a violation and issue a warning.
I would concur.
I concur.
Okay.
Application, Shake Shack Harvard Square for a change of manager to Brian Hickey?
No. Cambridge Cuisine LLC, DBA Puritan and Company, 1166 Cambridge Street, common victor, all alcohol license, number 11463 for a transfer of stock, no new stockholder.
Sorry about that.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Chief Commissioner Andrew Upton, UPTON, for the licensee, and with me is Will Gilson, G-I-L-S-O-N. Stockholder and chef.
Okay. So the percentage is just the 0.8 that's being transferred, is that correct? All the majority shareholders are staying the same?
That is correct. Mr. Yordi has left the business and is selling his shares back to the three principal owners.
Okay. And other than that, no other changes?
None at all.
Okay. And even though this was granted as a no value, no transfer license, I think, because the majority shareholders are staying the same and it's such a de minimis amount. I think we have granted these in the past, and I would say that we would grant and keep the conditions of the license as is.
Concur.
Okay.
Concur.
So granted. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now Shake Shack Corporate Square. Let's see for change of manager before I hit.
It's
Bob. Oh,
thank you. Hello. Sorry.
Okay. Shake Shack? Okay. It's 3:09. Let's do a second call.
Harvest 2000 LLC, doing business as The Harvest at 44 Brattle Street, supplied to add live music with amplification.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Would you please take a seat? Good thanks from you.
Good.
Would you please state and spell your last name for the record?
Sure. Jeff Osowski, O-S-O-W-S-K-I.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Osowski, what is your role at The Harvest?
General manager.
And can you tell us the need to add live music with amplification?
Sure. I want to start to just do a light jazz brunch on Saturdays. It just involves one individual instrumental.
And I note for the record that there have been no disciplinary issues at this location. And definitely not with noise.
No. I do also have told to have a signed affidavit.
Yep. If you can give those to Ms. Lint. Thank you. Do you gentlemen have any questions?
So just on Saturdays?
Yes, right now that's my only the only thing that I'm considering.
Okay.
Just to beef up our Saturday brunch a little bit.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You will be informed through the system of any other steps to take at this point, okay?
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Cafe Nero, new common victualer license, proposed hours 5:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. all days, seating for 54, occupancy of 60, entertainment for recorded music above conversation level. Jill Sharner, proposed manager of record. Premises described as 2,800 square feet, includes basement storage area. Main floor will be on the first level, one room with public access. Kitchen is in the rear of the building. Dry storage is in the leased space in the basement. Entrance and exit through hotel main lobby, through Cafe Nero main entrance. Additional egress through kitchen door.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Jason Souza, last name S-O-U-Z-A. I'm the operations manager for Cafe Nero.
Thank you. And this is a new location, and there had been, this is at the hotel, is that correct?
Correct, in the new hotel, 1868, we're in the main floor of the building.
And this is going to be same as your other operations?
Yeah, very standard, same type of thing, Italian-inspired cuisine, coffee house.
Okay. How many operating currently in the Boston area?
This will be number 29.
Right.
Popping up.
Keeping me busy.
Questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? I would vote to grant.
Granted.
Thank you.
Granted. Thank you. We'll get notifications through the system as the next step. Thank you.
Application to Miko Inc., doing business as Cafe Sushi, 1105 Mass Ave, has applied for an alteration of licensed premise to remove approximately 325 square feet of the existing space. The premise would be described as dining room, main kitchen, and sushi bar. Kitchen on first floor with portion used for storage.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last name for the record?
David Lipschitz, attorney Siegel Lipschitz and Wellesley.
And how do I spell your last name?
L-I-P-S-H-U-T-Z.
Thank you.
C.G. Amura, I-M-U-R-A.
I-M-U-R-A.
Yes.
And your first name?
C.G. S-E-I-Z as in zebra I.
Thank you. Okay. We were missing some stuff, so let me just take a quick look here. Has the payment been made?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and this is the the corporate vote. And then I heard, and we have the premise description.
So you're reducing the square footage by 325 square feet?
So we have space that we're using for back of the house prep and stuff like that, storage, and we want to take the very front of that and make that sort of a takeout, grab and go, where we're going to put that sort of thing in the very front. And so we're reducing that space that we currently have.
But your total footprint is staying the same?
Yes.
Okay. And no additional seating.
Right.
I'm sorry?
No additional seating.
Okay.
The I think this is a duplicate, quite frankly, but just to make sure, can you please sign the applicant statement? Thank you. Counselor, do you know what exactly was changed on this new application that was submitted?
Just the square footage. It was the square footage of the change as opposed to the square footage of the entire... It was the square footage just of the change space.
Ah, okay, got it.
So I don't know if you want to see the
plan.
Yeah, I actually do. For the rest of it. Yeah, for the rest of it.
So this is the area that you're changing?
On the right side.
Okay. And what exactly are you going to put in that area?
It's going to be a takeout counter.
Okay. And the takeout will not be more than 20%?
No.
I only ask because in the questions with zoning, those were questions that were going back and forth.
No, there's a substantial dining room in there.
Okay.
Right.
In the restaurant.
It's to really alleviate a lot of the stress in the front that is currently where the restaurant is, where there's seating, reservations, and then people just picking up takeout orders, and it kind of becomes a mess, so we thought that it'd be...
Oh, the takeout goes over there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just filter everyone, and then we can also just... It'll just be very calm. People...
You can't reuse that for prep, you said?
So we currently use that... The very front space, we have storage, like office... things like that, but there's prep as well further back, which won't change, so that'll still be there. It's just creating a counter so there's a POS, people can just pick up orders, and it's a lot smoother.
And you, you understand that once you take this area out of your premise description, you're not able to serve or store any alcohol in that area, correct?
There will be a separate companion application for a Section 15 license that's actually been filed that we're hearing on June 12th.
Okay, but as it stands, if this is approved and the ABCC approves this alteration, this in this particular space, you understand that you will not be able to serve for patrons waiting for their takeout any alcohol, and you won't be able to store any alcohol for the restaurant in that location.
Okay.
Okay.
So what will happen is when we come before you in 3 weeks for the Section 15, then there will be refrigeration for beer and wine inside.
Sell as a package.
To sell as a package,
right, yes.
Okay. All right. The gentleman have any other questions?
I don't.
Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant the alteration of premises.
Grant.
Grant.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you in a few weeks.
Application Dip Dog Incorporated, doing business as Cafe DuPay, 233 Cardinal Medeiros Avenue, for an alteration of permits to add a seasonal outdoor patio on the city sidewalk. Permits would be described as 1,600 square feet on the first floor with one entrance and two exits, two dining rooms, bar, kitchen, and bathrooms, 800 square feet in the basement, approximately 50 square foot seasonal patio with 8 seats.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
John Kessen, K-E-S-S-E-N.
Thank you.
Heather Mojer, M-O-J-E-R.
Do you guys have a better floor plan?
We are going to get an architectural drawing. I do have pictures to help you envision the actual space.
You on the, where are you on the corner of Bristol?
Here.
Bristol and Garden of Access.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
And then would you envision having someone out there? I mean, I understand that there are windows, but it doesn't really seem like the patio would be quote-unquote visible at all times from inside.
Not all of the tables. That's the center one,
yeah.
You could see through the door from the house stand.
Yeah. Because you cannot see the entire patio area, I think you would need to, I think, no, you would need an employee outside at all times monitoring that area.
Because of alcohol service or?
Because of alcohol service.
Now, patio service has to be visible from inside. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any space. You don't have any space in the back, right?
No, it's the alley between buildings that no one would, although people like to sit outside, would not like to sit there.
No, I understand.
So are these like 8 seats, or are you planning bigger tables on the outside? Because in this picture, it almost looks like you have at least one table of 4.
Yeah, we're planning for very small tables, 2 tables of 2 and 1 of 4.
Can you tell us the need for the patio service?
Certainly there would be some increase in sales, but given the location and the look of the building, people don't always know it's a restaurant. So even if there were tables and chairs sitting out there that didn't have people in them, driving by or walking by, you'd understand that it was a restaurant. So that by itself is a benefit.
Okay. But in public need, we cannot consider your profits as part of the public need. Is there another need for the patio?
Just the general desire for people to eat outside in the limited warm months that we have in New England.
What is your seating capacity inside?
The total number is 76, 55 seated, I believe.
21 standing.
And you said you had constant vision from inside of the 4 or of the 2 seater?
Of the center.
So the 2
table. Exactly.
Yeah, they have a maximum seating capacity of 55 and a 21 standing with a maximum occupancy of 76. And you haven't started the process of the sidewalk obstruction permit or anything like that, correct?
I've talked to Vincent Best, has come out and I've sent him several different versions of drawings. He said it's doable, but we haven't gotten the approval. We did pay the $75 to them to start that process.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to defer this until we get the plan, the architectural plan. I mean, this is city sidewalk, so it's a little trickier. And I know that there's a lot of, there's the agreement, that really long name, the indemnification agreement that you have to sign with the city, that has to be signed by the city manager, approved by the city council, same with the use of the sidewalk. And And I think I'd like to see a clearer plan from you guys in terms of how you're going to control that area. Because I'm not sure if your proposed patio will have to change based on the fact that you will need to have someone out there the entire time. I'm not sure how much the city is granting you, how much space the city's granting you to use. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's sort of my say on this one.
I think you have to wait. Do you know what this particular pole is here? I mean, there's a street sign, but is that some sort of like metering device or something that's there?
Oh, in that photo, that was a temporary traffic counter for that intersection.
Okay.
I don't know if there are plans to put a stoplight there because people race down that road.
I agree that we have to wait.
Yeah. So let's defer this. Let's, talk to whoever you're hiring to do your architectural plan. Let them know that you need to have someone there. I don't know exactly how you're going to station them. I'm not sure who you're talking to in the city in DPW, in terms of the area that they're going to allow you to use. But, you have to also discuss with them that whether you put a hostess stance or whether you have someone just standing there, it's up to you. But, I mean, it's small enough that you might not need a hostess stance, but you do need space for a person to be there. So we'll defer. Yep?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Application, the New Dough Society, 123 River Street, for a new common victualer license. Proposed hours 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. all days. Seating for 28. Total occupancy of 28. Entertainment license for 2 TVs. Wood the Pong Guy.
Guy
Gao. As proposed manager of, thank you, proposed manager of record. Premise described as full service Asian noodle and food restaurant, 860 square feet, ground floor. Open plan with seating, kitchen, and food storage. Front entrance on River Street. Rear exit to common area. To Kennard Street. Background music. No entertainers.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record?
Yes. My name is Douglas Reynolds. R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S.
You're the attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Woody Pong Gaiga. Spelled W-U-D-T-H-I-P-O-N-G. Last name spell G-U-Y-G-A-E-W, Geigo.
Thank you. Would you tell us a little bit more about the Noodle Society?
Okay, it's the full service, the Asian noodle, that we focus on the noodle soup. I'm originally from Thailand, and I know how to cook Thai dish, and I like to cross with the Southeast Asian noodle dish, like Malaysian, Singaporean, a little bit of Chinese, and Japanese, like ramen, we're gonna have a limited number on the menu, that we don't want to serve the whole Southeast Asian cuisine, just focus on noodle soup. And we do not pursue the alcohol, just want something nice bowl for the college kids. Quick and go.
Okay, sounds good. And are you taking over a particular location?
It used to be a bar called the River Guard, and River Guard left the premises almost 2 years, 2016, and then the landlord kept it vacant for like 2 years, and
And then do you know, I didn't see in the floor plan where exactly the TVs are going to be located. Do you know around?
I would say one on the left wall and one on the right over the counter, so facing each other.
If you can draw them right there, yeah,
sure,
if you can mark them where they would be located, that would be good.
Sure.
Great, thank you.
Great, you're welcome. Sorry.
And would this be your first business venture?
No. I have a few.
Excellent. First one in Cambridge?
No, I used to have the Pepper Sky on Grove Street, and then I think I sold it to my partners a few years ago.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition?
We should say before you act, we don't have a lease yet. and we're working on it, and as soon as we have it, so we understand, I talked with Ms. Lynn yesterday, we understand that this would be conditional upon our providing the lease.
Or a letter of intent. He couldn't decide if they wanted to come in or not come in. They're having trouble getting in touch with the landlord in New York.
The landlord is in Brooklyn, and he's been responsive some weeks, and then all of a sudden he goes dark. So
yeah, I got the draft from him that we've been negotiating and sending back and forth for like 2 months already, and he said he's going to sign, and then he did not, and then we stumbled upon one clause that we could agree on, and then he's just like, okay, are we going to move forward? And then he said, oh, he's going to move forward, and I said, I have to have the copy of your signed lease by today, or last week, and he said he will. It's the last thing there.
That's why they
want to be issued contingent on the lease.
I would defer until we have a lease.
They want it to be heard.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Yes, if you could please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Sure. Jim Horton, CourtneyNEY, not in opposition to the application. Just wanted to note for the record that Inspection Services Commissioner has stated that no entertainment is allowed in the zone, 8A3 zone.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, with that said, I would vote to defer until we get the lease.
I'll defer.
Okay, we'll defer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Matter deferred from March 27th. Middle East doing business as Middle East Restaurant Zuzu and Sonia's at 472 Mass Ave.
This is for various disciplinary violations. Are you guys ready to talk about this?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. So in terms, and I will talk about them in terms of how we heard them. Incident one was, which was a January 30th incident where the female patron reported to have been allegedly punched by the staff, and her friend removed in a chokehold. For this particular case, we had no video. The staff appeared and denied the chokehold or punching the woman, but the patrons that were involved did not appear. The staff also basically said that they had been, the security guy had been surrounded by 4 to 5 female patrons and that he was just trying to get everyone out. My particular issue with this one is that it seemed to have escalated because they wanted the gentleman to leave but take his wristband off, yet even though the patron was having trouble removing the wristband, they didn't give him scissors or anything to cut it with, and they were insistent that he take it off, and then everything sort of escalated from there. And my other concern with this particular incident was that the person who allegedly grabbed the gentleman that did the quote-unquote chokehold is the same gentleman that we later saw in a video doing a chokehold on someone else. So that's what I want to say about that incident. In terms of incident number two, where this is the January 31st incident, and this is the one where we see the gentleman being sort of grabbed by the neck and sort of thrown to the ground.
January 31st.
There were various ones. Okay. I'm not at that one yet. The January 30th had two separate stuff in it. And then this gentleman was a gentleman that Sonia had banned before, yet he was allowed inside. She had banned him for good reason. So I'm very concerned about that one as well. In terms of February, the altercation with the vendor, Puffer, and the patron McDonald, where he spits on him and everything, and there was no call to the police, I think that's an issue. Then the January 1st arrest of the employee operating under the influence. This is the only one where I think there was absolutely nothing, no evidence. It was later found out that it wasn't really an OUI or he wasn't impaired. It was just when he crashed, he sort of was woozy. And there was no evidence that the gun was ever inside the premises or that he was served at the premises. The next incident, which is the 18-year-old girl transported, or the other incident that we discussed, the girl transported to the hospital due to intoxication, although she wasn't served at the Middle East, and she was allowed inside as an underage, she later found a way to get a wristband that said that she was over 21. So, I mean, I think, you know, in terms of the girl, there really was no violation, although I would like to mandate that they give us a security plan as to how they're going to control these all-age shows and how they're going to secure these wristbands from now on. In terms of the employee drinking and being impaired and everything, I think that's a no violation or the gun inside. In terms of the physical altercation between the vendor and the patron, they had had words before, they didn't take action, then the incident happened and they didn't call the police. I would find a violation and issue a suspension on that. In terms of the gentleman who was grabbed by the neck that we saw in the video, I would find a violation and issue a suspension on that. And in terms of the female patron and the gentleman who reported being, I think the female patron, even when she spoke to our investigator, it was clear that she wasn't clear that the punch to her was on purpose, but rather that it was just as a result of the entire thing going on. But, you know, I have a real concern with this. I don't know what to do with this one, but I even though the patrons did not appear, I'm not quite sure that I totally believe the Middle East staff that they were complete victims and that this was not something that could have been avoided. So those are my general thoughts on this.
So I concur that the employee driving impaired wasn't on the Middle East and that no violation occurred there. The wristband one where the underage switched the wristband, I thought that they had a plan, but the young girl was able to circumvent it.
Well, one of the security staff testified that the wristbands are not left, you know, sort of free for all, but the female that had actually denied her entry as a 21 plus, she had testified that they were sort of like, there. So she said that she didn't know, they didn't know how this girl got, and don't know how the wristbands, which whether they're kept, you know, they're kept on the host stand or whatever, that little box that they have, they're obviously not secure.
No.
I mean, if I as a patron can just grab one, they're clearly not secure. So that's my issue with that. And even though there was no violation in terms of what happened that day, I think they need to submit to us a specific plan on how they're going to take action to control.
I think the second and third one, there are clear violations, and we should issue violations and suspensions. For the first one, I actually think that is a violation as well, and that we should issue at the very least a warning. But I do believe it is murky.
I have an issue with the patrons being able to grab the wristbands, the total lack of control. The chokehold thing, I was not completely sold that it didn't take place.
You mean the first one, the one where we didn't have video or anything? Yeah.
Yeah, I was... I just think that this has been several troubling incidents taken in their totality.
They definitely showing unwillingness to contact the police if anything happens.
Yeah, it appears right. That there's almost an effort to, a concerted effort to not contact the police,
right.
When in fact they should be contacting the police.
The first three, all violations and all suspensions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the second, the last two, no violations. But for the fifth one, they have to submit a detailed plan on how to secure the vans. So now the question is length of suspension. You have their history?
Yeah. Have no history for the last 4 years. There was the most recent history that I see here was in 2004, where a security struck a patron with a flashlight and there was a 6-day suspension issued. So there doesn't seem to be any recent history. However, I think in terms of, as we have said, the totality, the,
right.
You know, the effort to, or, you know, trying to tell people not to call the police and them physically not calling police and just making decisions that things have been diffused when they clearly have not, and everything else, I would say that a multiple day suspension is warranted.
I would concur with that.
I do as well.
And I would say at a minimum that a multiple day suspension should be about 4 days.
I'm good with that. I concur.
Mm. Okay.
4 days, or were you thinking less, more?
I'm good with four.
Violation to incident number 1, 2, and 3. Suspension. No violation to number 4 and 5. Number 5. And Ms. Lint, when this letter is written, I think we have to be really careful because that's, I think, I'm using the numbers mm-hmm. as we heard them and mm-hmm. as we labeled them in the hearing, not exactly as they were placed in the hearing notice that they were given. So, just as an FYI. Um, Do we think that's too lax? I mean, I just have a real concern with these chokehold things. I mean, but I mean, I don't know. I also know that that gentleman came in and out several times, but it just seemed like a really, for lack of a better term, hothead move. I don't know. But if you guys are fine with it.
They took some action against the employee, right?
They gave him a warning. Right. Isn't he also, though, like the security head?
I didn't remember that.
No.
No? Okay, good.
So I'm supposed to stay at the fourth day.
Okay.
I think they said they did some training.
Yeah, they were doing de-escalating training. They were putting all their employees through de-escalating training. They gave a warning to the employee who was caught on tape, who has been a long-time employee, which is why they went with a warning.
And matter deferred from April 24th, 2019, La Fabrica.
Okay, so this is another, ejection case. This also, we have video where he's being escorted out of the third room or the back room with security behind him. We have no footage of the middle room. And then in the front room, all of a sudden, even though they claim it's not a chokehold, I think the video was pretty clear that this was a chokehold.
Yeah, I think it was. I think they were on the rough side with the patron.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just good.
I got it. This is the one where the police officer was inside and interacted.
Yes, you weren't here for the hearing on this one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So, you know, I understand that we don't know what happened in the middle room, but during the video, it's clear that he's not, it doesn't appear to me that he is being in such a way and resisting in such a way that that type of hold was needed. Maybe a hold was needed. I just don't think that type of hold was needed.
Yeah.
Again, I have issues with these holds, and I had a huge problem on this one with Durskin sort of saying that he thought that they're all trained to do the minimum amount and that he thought that this his security employee did what needed to be done. I have a real big issue with that because I don't think that that's true.
Yeah, I think it was a little... Not much. I would what were your thoughts on this one?
I was thinking that this is a violation. Again, I think it was excessive. I also credit the detail officer's testimony that when he went outside, the gentleman was agitated and even ended up pushing the detail officer before running away from the scene when the detail officer was ready to arrest him for disturbing the peace.
Mm.
And for this one, I mean, quite frankly, I think my other big issue with this one was at the beginning, the manager was told by two patrons that are regulars, that he knows, that this gentleman came up to them and told them, do you want to buy some drugs or do you have some drugs or something? And that he talked to everyone and everything seemed fine and he let them stay. you know, had he been told that by two strangers, and then this is, you know, this other gentleman's a stranger, I could see how he's like, let's give them both the benefit of the doubt. But when you have regulars telling you this, and then this gentleman, and then something does happen.
And you also have a police officer on scene.
Yeah.
Correct? Officer was on detail?
Yep, there was an officer on detail.
You failed to notify the officer on detail that somebody's making an attempt to purchase or distribute illicit drugs?
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem.
Yep. They have, we issued them a 4-day suspension in August of 2018 for overcapacity, and they had previous to that, they had a 1-day suspension for overcapacity. The 4-day is currently on appeal. The appeal hasn't been heard yet. And then they have some ABCC suspensions, which were fines were paid in lieu of the suspensions for service to minors.
Okay. Pushed off as a I think I'm more troubled by the failure to notify the police drug activity than I am by the, I think the patron was obviously aggressive, but I agree with you that these holds are getting a little, you know.
I was thinking 2 days. We could certainly do 1 day to be served, 1 day to be held in abeyance if you want, if you were more inclined to 1 day, but I would do 2 days.
Yeah. I would support 1 and 1.
Okay. And how long do we keep in abeyance the other one?
A year.
Okay. All right.
And I would indicate in the statement of reasons that troubled by, at least from my perspective, troubled by the failure to have a police officer on scene, on detail, and failed to notify him that there's somebody looking for a drug transaction.
Number 12, Attorney Upton on behalf of P.F. Chang, holder of common victim law, call license number 11395, is requesting a refund of the unused portion of their annual license fee as they closed March 31st.
I would deny this based on Chapter 138, Section 23, informally paragraph 6. The license was canceled when it was turned in. In the alternative, I would deny based on General Law Chapter 138, Section 23, informally paragraph 7. when the license is surrendered, but it was exercised even for a period of time. No refund is provided for either case, though.
So. I would concur with that.
Denied.
License Commission has received notice that Nori Taxi has purchased Medallion 33.
Acknowledged.
Board has received notice that Yasmin Cab has purchased Medallion 42.
Acknowledged.
Carrie Richards, on behalf of GLXC, has applied for a special noise variance for one night within the period of June 24th to July 13th. Start time of 3 a.m. and end time of 7 a.m. to move a crane across the street, placing street pallets to protect the road, and one night within the week of July 22nd to July 26th to move the crane back.
I would grant the dates amended by applicants. They changed it because originally those weren't the dates, and also with the condition that it's done the weekdays
line.
Only.
Huh? Green Line project.
Yeah, this is the Green Line project, yeah.
I'm sorry, what is it? Green Line?
Green Line.
Oh,
Green
Line
extension.
But it's a Green Light.
GLX.
Dylan Archibald, on behalf of Dylan and Pete's Ice Cream, has applied for a Hawker Peddler license to sell at various Cambridge companies Sunday through Saturday.
Granted.
Statement of reasons for Phoenix Communications.
Approved.
Brown Castle.
Approved. And I think, hold on, there's one here. One of you wasn't here for one of these, I don't think, right?
May 8th. I was not here.
Huh?
I was not here May 8th.
Yeah. So I approve it to Phoenix. And approve it to Crown Castle. And approve it to Turner Construction.
Are those all May 8th?
Those are all May 8th, I believe.
Sure.
And minutes for April 24th.
I was there for that.
You were, and Bard was not approved.
Mondays. Deferred from May 8th, Bertrand Lawrence for an entertainment license at Raymond Park.
Granted with amended 6 p.m. end time for park permit.
Stuart Isaacs for Malt and Wine with Entertainment at MIT Museum on May 24th.
Granted.
Julie Barry on behalf of the Cambridge Arts Council for an entertainment license at Mass Ave for Riverfest.
Granted, no fee, City Department.
Leo Crowley, Malt and Wine at the ART, 2 Arrow Street, outside patio.
Okay, there was a question in terms of the time. It was confirmed that it is 7 to 8:30, so granted as applied for. And even though they have a license, this is outside their licensed area.
Okay.
Ursula August, on behalf of Cambridge Community Arts Center for Malt and Wine with Entertainment at 1 Kendall on May 30th.
Granted.
Brandy's Primo, on behalf of Restaurant Associates for Malt and Wine with Entertainment license at Gunn Hall.
Granted with amended hours on 5/29 from 3:30 to 6:30, and on 5:30 from 8 a.m. to 3:30 per university plan and police detail required.
HK Food Group, doing business with Alden and Harlow, an entertainment license on May 26th and June 1st for a wedding.
Granted.
Yamara Vasquez for...
Genfield actually has two applications.
Yeah,
May
26th and June 1st.
Oh, okay. Granted, it's both. Sorry, they're in different things, so go ahead.
Yamara Vasquez, Wine with Entertainment at Masonic Hall.
Granted with amended end time of 7 p.m. for permission letter.
Rith Chack for an entertainment...
Oh, also, on this one, I want a clarification. This is... for beer and wine only, I would add that.
What Masonic call?
Yeah, but she had applied for malt. Okay. Then she had put in her description that she might be serving alcohol, so we reached out, our staff reached out to her, and she confirmed that it's beer and wine, so I just want to clarify that.
Rith Chaff, an entertainment license at the Masonic Hall on June 29th.
Grandson.
Paul Clark, malt and wine with entertainment at 100 Cambridge Side Place.
Grandson with police detail required.
Wits End, 1248 Cambridge Street for an entertainment license on May 31st.
Grandson.
Bill Manley, an entertainment license at Brattle Plaza, June 8th.
Grandson.
Jeff Marfu on behalf of ARE Mass, malt and wine with entertainment license at the courtyard outside of the building on June 13th, July 11th, August 15th, September 12th, and October 24th.
Granted, as to all.
Jason Alves on behalf of the East Cambridge Business Association, alcohol with entertainment license at North Point on June 20th, July 18th, August 15th, September 19th for concerts.
Granted, the event hours excluding setup and breakdown is 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. for permission letter.
Chelsea Owens on behalf of ALS Therapy, malt with entertainment at 300 Tech Square on August 10th for a fundraiser.
Okay. This, again, we had an issue with the hours. But just we confirmed that the hours are 1 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., and I would grant with those hours and also with the conditions that they must keep the tasting service to 2 ounces per serving and must serve food.
Michael Monestein on behalf of Central Square Business Association applied for a beer garden at Brookline Street.
Granted, with police detail required, they have requested a fee waiver. I didn't put my vote on the fee waiver. I would deny the fee waiver. It's not a city department.
Celestine Hong for an entertainment license at Kresge Auditorium on May 25th.
Granted.
Sarah Gilrod on behalf of Transition House, the one with entertainment at Tate Bakery on June 19th for a fundraiser.
I would grant with the condition or amendment that the start time is 5 p.m. per the permission letter, and also the maximum capacity is 40 per the COI and current license at this location.
Mari Watson, on behalf of Tobin Community School, has applied for a one-day temporary amusement license.
Granted, this is filed by a city department, no fee.
Peter DeVito on behalf of Cambridge Side, an entertainment license at Canal Park on June 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th, July 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, 31st, August 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th for fitness series.
Granted, that's cool.
John Harmon on behalf of Bond Brothers has applied for a special noise variance on May 26th at 500 Memorial Drive.
Granted, with the condition that a Sunday work permit from the Cambridge Police Department is required.
Nicola Williams on behalf of the Sustainable Business Network, Wine and Malt and Entertainment License, June 8th.
Did they submit the 501c3 last time I checked?
It.
Oh, okay. Okay. This one is also a tasting event. They give 25 total tickets. This is beer and wine. So I'm not sure if we're fine with 25 tickets or if we think
this
that's
is,
too much.
Which one is this?
This is the Nicola Williams.
Sustainable Business Network. So yeah. 25, what, everybody gets 25 tickets for?
Yeah, but these are for tasting. So for wine, the tastings, my conditions on the tastings would be 1 ounce per serving for tasting of beers, the limited to 2 ounces per serving. And they say that they're going to sell food. I think they must serve food or have some food for free. They can still whatever, but they have to serve food for the tastings. I'm a little uncomfortable with 25 for two-hour sessions. I would even with the amount of ounces.
So
I would be happier with 20.
I have a question of 12 to 2 for product drop-off.
Oh, wait. 2:30 to 5:30, sorry.
2:30 to 5:30 for session 1. Session 2, 6:30 to 9:30.
So it's 3-hour sessions.
But what's the 12 to 2?
The drop-off of the products and the setup. It's a multiple beer. It's the 8th annual Hyperlocal Craft Brew Fest. And they're giving beer, cider, mead, artisan beverages. And they say this is a ticketed event and includes 25 tasting tickets. Food will be available for sale.
I would restrict it to 20 tickets.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. 25 shots in 3-hour period.
Okay, so...
That's a little much.
Yeah, so granted with the conditions that the tastings of wines must be limited to 1 ounce per serving. And just for the record, that also includes mead, in case they think that mead is not wine. The tastings of beer must be limited to 2 ounces per serving. They didn't ask for all alcohol, so they won't have any other types of things. Food must be served, and it has to be limited to 20 tickets. Yes?
I'm okay with that.
Nicole, actually, in an email, was very specific that there will not be hard liquor.
Yeah, no, she also didn't apply for hard liquor.
Megan Dupree, on behalf of Harvard Alumni Association, a one-day wine license on May 30th at 1 Harvard Yard.
Granted.
And there was just one that came in yesterday, let's say, yesterday. Lin Zhao for a one-day entertainment license on May 25th.
I didn't see this one. Do you know if they have their university?
Yes.
And everything was squared away?
Harris said it was all set.
Okay, so I would grant...
I'll check the hours.
And I would ask the commissioners if they were...
It's commencement day, isn't it? The 30th?
Yes. But the event is on the 25th. This MIT...
Oh, the MIT.
Yeah. Oh, this is just for entertainment, so I would vote to grant.
And that is all I have.
All right. Thank you.
Second call.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Second call being at 4:07. No show, so no action.
Should we check?
Yes.
What just change of manager?
Change of manager.